B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you go back to Cam's MVP season, his top three weapons were Greg Olsen, Tekken Jr., and Jericho Cotri. When you compare that to this group of weapons, albeit not perfect, Cam Newton has a good skill set to work with, and I think this offense will be really hard to defend because it's going to be diverse RPOs, direct quarterback runs, Julian Edelman, running backs that can catch the ball, and Greeny. Mark my words, in 2 to 3 weeks, the early storyline that we'll be talking about is, when is Cam Newton getting that extension? Cam Newton, comeback player of the year. Can they keep up with Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC? So if, and it's a big if Cam Newton stays healthy, I love this match. And more importantly, moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
All right, hi everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on Tuesday, September 8th. That was Mike Tannenbaum coming to you this morning on ESPN, which is our jumping off point, which is the runaway train that is the hype, the Cam Newton hype train and the New England Patriot hype train. Are we buying? That's going to be the lead item on the board here as we bring you our first real big boy Tuesday of the NFL season. It's Maz, Murray, and myself in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, you?
Hello.
Peachy, thank you so much. I don't have my headset on yet, so I can't hear Greg if he's going to speak, but is Greg there?
Greg, you there?
I am here.
Oh?
Yep. Hello.
How's he sound?
Good. He sounds pretty good, surprisingly enough.
All right.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, I'm getting my my situation situated. Maz, you tell me. Do you believe Mike Tannenbaum there? Do you agree or disagree? It's going to be so good so early that you'll see a not only will you see this look good, look right, et cetera, but there's a contract extension coming for Cam Newton in the first 2 to 3 weeks.
If the Patriots sign Cam Newton to a new contract 3 weeks into the season, they're morons. They're morons. Like, this is the part that I look at with Tannenbaum and say, what the hell are you talking about? All of a sudden, they're going to react irrationally. Like, there are so many things that are wrong about that scenario. And when I say wrong, not about him saying that he thinks it could happen. I mean that if they did it, it would mean that they've given up on Jarrett Stidham, because why would you sign Cam Newton to a multi-year deal otherwise? It would mean that validate the point that Bill Belichick had no plan. It would be woefully premature for a guy who has an injury history. And really, we won't even know whether or not he can handle it after 3 games. Like, the idea that that would be a reality to me is so far-fetched that I have no choice but to say if they were to do that, they'd be stupid.
It's premature. And it's also a move that Mike Tannenbaum would do. Like, that's... If that sounds like something that, you know, it sounds feasible to him, it's because it's like, oh, I would do this. Oh, he looks healthy. You're basing that on what? Just because he looked good at camp? You got to wait this season, not even week 10, week 11, even if he's having a phenomenal season and they're defying everyone's expectations and they're one of the front runners of the AFC. You wait till the end of the year, given the guy's injury.
What did you just say to me off the air? Do you mind saying it on the air?
Oh, I think they're going to suck.
Okay. So if they're going to suck, he's going to suck, and there's no contract. Where do you lie, Bedard? What is your your optimism level with this team and this quarterback, and they are tied together?
Well, first of all, I want to know what Mike Tannenbaum is smoking, because I want some of that. I also wonder if he wants to come home and he's angling for a job with the Patriots, because I think what he said is ridiculous. This is a guy who... The only thing he's seen of Cam Newton do is dance in practice in the first 10 minutes of stretching. We've seen him in practice, at least, you know, the 2 weeks that was open to us. As far as my optimism, I still think this team is going to win the division. 10-6, 11-5, somewhere in there. I believe that it's going to get better at a certain point. But to say stuff like, you know, they're going to be so much better this year with Cam Newton. And first of all, his Panthers weapons, like, I would take Greg Olsen and Jericho Cotchery and whoever else over what they have right now. Yeah. I mean, the Patriots have completely unproven players at X receiver, tight end, second and third receiver. I mean, it's just outside of Edelman, everybody else is an unknown.
I'm sorry, Greg. I got distracted by looking at your outside location.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So if you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, you see Greg around the corner of his house next to the electrical boxes. Like, why don't you have a backyard, dude, or like even a front yard? Don't you have like a
I'm in an undisclosed location. And all right, fine. I'll tilt it after the break. I'll tilt it so it's a better view. I'm sorry.
You don't have to tilt. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I'm just saying it had to be next to the electrical box.
And he's reading the meter.
Hey.
is that right next to where the internet comes into your home so you get a better signal?
If he had a beard, I'd swear he were the Unabomber. Right?
Yeah. Are you trying to break in? Are you reading, right? Are you reading the gas meter today?
Let's just say I'm in a very remote, undisclosed location.
Uh-huh. All right. Greg, how dependent is Cam Newton's play on the Patriots' success this year? In other words, I've read a lot of people say, you know, maybe Curran or Volin, or, you know, just reading the analysis of the team going into the year, rebuilding year, not a good team. It's really up to Newton. If Newton goes nuts, they have a chance. If he doesn't go nuts, they don't have a chance. Do you think their success, their high-level success, is totally dependent on Cam Newton?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. I mean, look, they're going to have to run the ball well, so the offensive line and the running backs are going to need to do their part. Some of it will be scheme. Some of it will have Cam involved. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, crunch time and all that, it's going to have to be Cam. Cam's going to have to do it. He's going to have to make plays with his feet. And I can tell you what, I mean, from watching this team and from talking to people around the team who have seen the team in the past week or 10 days, they all feel, yeah, they need the lead. They need to play from ahead. They need to play their game. If they get down a couple scores, it's going to be very tough for this offense to catch up.
Well, so that's the question. Do you think Newton is capable of doing what we just described, putting the team on his back and doing that thing?
Well, yes, but they're going to need the lead. They can't come from behind. I can tell you that much. But if McDaniels scripts the game properly and, you know, addresses the weaknesses of the defense and all that stuff, then yes, I think they have a path to success, but it's very narrow with, you know, Cam having to be a Superman and, you know, the defense having to come through, which is, you know, looking pretty shaky in the front seven.
So you don't think it's the passing game? You don't think it's the passing game that's going to do it? It's going to be the running game and him as a running quarterback and that piece? Because if you don't think they can come from behind, you know, you're saying they can't play the straight passing game.
I mean, I could tell you, like, in the practices that we saw when it was, you know, third down periods or 7-on-7, the passing offense had a really rough time. I mean, a really rough time moving the ball. So, I mean, I'm just going what I've seen in the offseason. And, you know, look, the offense through Cam, you know, the read option, riding the running back, you know, that the defense can't play man-to-man because if they turn their back, all of a sudden Cam can take off from the pocket. All that stuff is part of this equation. And that means to me that Cam has to be Cam. He has to be a threat, a multidimensional threat, or it's going to be really rough.
Okay. Greg Bedard, football, first 2 hours of the program, as a usual Tuesday in the football season, 617-779-0985. You know what's starting to bug me a little bit, Maz?
What?
The hype train, the mutual love affair between Belichick and Cam Newton, and this thing, you know, this narrative that's just now taken hold, that Newton says yesterday on EEI that it's a perfect match or a match made in heaven, ideal marriage, yeah. Or I don't have the exact word in front of me, but, you know, that. Is it this a match made in heaven? Like, since when was this a match made in heaven? Like, and now you're like, oh, yeah, it's a match made in heaven. It's a perfect match. You hear all the guys covering the team. It's a perfect match. It's perfect. Perfect match. Yeah, they're meant for each other. Perfect match. When he's the last guy standing, you're the only team left with an opening, the only quarterback left without a job, and they just found each other because they were the last two schmucks at the dance without a partner.
Yeah.
But now it's a perfect marriage and a perfect match. Like, they were each other's first choice and you could not have found a better match. I mean, this is just stupid. It gets freaking stupid and it gets annoying.
Especially when they haven't even played a freaking game yet.
God dang it.
Preseason or otherwise. Like, how the hell could we possibly know what it's going to be like until crap starts to go wrong?
If it was so perfect, why didn't he pick you first or you pick him first? If it was so effing perfect, why did it take to the? Why was he the very last guy and you were the very last team? That sounds to me like the two suckiest ball players on the just the last two.
It's a drunken 1:45 a.m. hookup.
Thank you. That's what that is. That's right. That's crawling back in the bar at 2:05. Oh, she's still there. Fine.
That's not even that. That's the corner of 42nd and Broadway in the old Times Square.
Oh, but it's embarrassing. It's a perfect match. They're perfect. It's so dumb. It's so dumb, and it's so predictable. like 90% of you were, and I say you, like the media, 90% of the media here in town said the following. They're not going after Cam Newton. Cam Newton's not coming here. Stop you. That's just talk radio BS. They're not into Cam Newton. He's not coming here. It's not a fit. Why would you go to Cam Newton? But now 2 months later, or whatever it is, a month later, it's a perfect fit. Oh my God. Like,
oh, it's asinine.
It's just ridiculous.
It's asinine. It's completely asinine. Again, they ended up just out of convenience, for crying out loud, more than anything else.
Or
necessity.
No, yeah.
It's not even convenience.
It's a perfect match. It's just been perfect for each other. I'm sorry, Greg.
What happens in week one if the Dolphins blow their doors off?
Exactly.
I totally agree with Maz. They haven't played a game. They haven't played a preseason game. We haven't seen anything. And it's a perfect marriage. We don't know anything. We don't know any. And about, you know, Cam being the quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, he was an MVP in 2018 in the first 8 games, and then he couldn't throw the ball in the final 8. So, like, it's just, it's ridiculous. God. I mean, it's
like a bunch of bobos around here when we do this. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's what we got here is bobos now.
So, look, it might work. I'm not telling you it's going to fail. Like, it might work. They might make it work. Because Bill's so good and Newton is obviously talented and motivated, and so it could work. And it on some levels, it should work. I'd like to think it will work. But how is it a perfect match when no one else wanted this guy? And the Pats were sitting there in July with no quarterback, and he was the only guy left. Now it's a perfect match? You just sound silly when you buy into that.
I will say it's a perfect match in that this offense is so challenged at the skill position that they needed a quarterback who was a threat in the backfield and all that stuff to get the attention, and they have to account for him in the defense. This offense needed that. If they went with a straight drop back passer, it would have been really rough.
Yeah, I understand. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons.
That's reassuring.
That's one of the reasons it could work, because no one's going to be open and the quarterback's going to be running for his life back there. So you might as well have someone who can move. But what does that mean? So, like, you can hire anyone who can run. Like, what is so Newton was the last guy.
I'll tell you what, I'm with Murray. I'm going to say about the Patriots, incredibly, what I said about the Red Sox right before the season started, there's a chance they could suck. I mean, there's a chance they could really suck. Now, I doubt it because of the coach. Okay, I doubt it. But as we get closer and I look at them, I go, oof. Like, if I were to say to you, what do you think the odds are better for? That they surprise us and are good? Or that they surprise us and suck.
Oh, the latter.
Oh, I'm just
second thing for sure.
I'm sorry. I'm just stuck on the perfect match thing. Because what? He practiced well, but not even that great, right, Greg? I mean, he was good, but not great.
No, he was fine. And I will tell you that people around the team think that it's gotten better every single day, and they feel better, and they feel better about the tight ends and things like that. But yeah, no. From what we saw, it was not good on the field. It was not. If you're saying this is a perfect match, you are ignoring what you saw on the practice field.
And I'll tell you what, you know how I know it's not so perfect a match? Is that Bill has to kiss his ass the way he's kissed his ass. That's how I know. If it were a perfect match and they were totally comfortable with Cam Newton in this system and his place here, they'd be hard on him like they are everybody else. But instead, Bill's got to blow smoke up his ass because they're afraid that he, what? So you know it's not a perfect match when Bill has to go out of type and out of character to kiss the guy's ass. Yeah, just try and keep it real a little bit. Just a little. All right, Bedard's with us the next 2 hours. Like I said, what are your questions about this football team? What do you think? You optimistic, pessimistic? Is Cam Newton a perfect match? Have you talked yourself into that one? You twisted yourself into that Patriots pretzel to believe that one as well? 617-779-0985 to you right after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, for now, and that's the most important thing, because now we're going to get into the season where results actually matter, and that's ultimately how this relationship is going to be judged. Can Cam Newton and Bill Belichick get it done as a combination head coach and quarterback? And I can't speak to Cam's comments on being the black quarterback and maybe why people didn't think it would work. All I can tell you is the people that I talk to that work within the Patriots and some of the players that have been here say, Bill embraces all kinds so long as you embrace the culture and the program. You're allowed to be a little bit different. You're allowed to have your own personality. But what they want is when you're in that building, that you're putting in the work, that you're supporting your teammates, and that you're getting better. That's it. It's very simple. Go back to Corey Dillon in 2004. Unique character, comes over from the Bengals, didn't have a good run, didn't have a great reputation, had a fantastic season for the Patriots. They won a Super Bowl. It later went sideways. Randy Moss in 2007, same thing was said about him. Does he really care about football? Will his antics fly? He loved being a part of the New England Patriots for a couple years. And then in that third season, they started to get a little bit of pushback from him, and that was the end of that relationship. So as long as you buy in, Bill doesn't really care about your dancing, your personality, your social media posts. Just play and play well.
Care about the social media posts. I mean, he doesn't care about your social media posts if it doesn't involve his team. But I don't believe that, Mike. I mean, you say something wrong that sheds a poor light in Bill's eye on him or the team, you're going to hear about it. So I think he does care about that. But so yeah, the dancing. Like, who cares about the dancing? Like, it's not about the dancing. Of course, Bill's going to allow you to dance. Like, big deal. Like, that's not the That's not really it. I just think if it was such a perfect fit, Bill wouldn't have to go out of character and out of type and praise him the way he's praised him. That's all I know. And Bill's done it on a couple occasions. You know, he certainly does it. He you know, the tip-off is they did it for Randy Moss because you had to kiss his ass, because the second Randy faced any adversity or any pushback, he'd shut it down or he'd quit on you. And Bill knew it, and so Bill constantly kissed his ass. And so Cam Newton kind of in that camp or closer to that camp than someone he could just, you know, rightfully challenge. Because again, Bill will do whatever it takes. I get that. But what does he want to do? What's his default? His default is to challenge you and to be hard on you and to make it hard on you. Like, that's the way he wants to do it. That's the way he wants to treat all of his players, unless you can't handle it. And maybe he's already determined that Cam Newton might not be able to handle it. So it's unicorns and show ponies. And so, okay, well, I mean, whatever it takes to work, but maybe that's a little tip off that maybe it's not a perfect fit. I don't know, but no one thinks that way. It's, wee, perfect fit. How about all the dancing, Greg? Like, that's supposed to tell me, like, the fact that he's just dancing or the energy. There's something about the energy now that makes him a perfect fit. How do you feel about that?
It's very annoyed. I mean, look, I'm happy that Cam does bring good energy, and it's noticeable and it's great, and I'm sure it has a positive impact on his teammates. But who's going to give a crap in this market about his energy if they start 1-3 and he's completing 55% of his passes? Like, energy doesn't matter. Production does around here. That's what's going to matter on the field. And as far as Bill sort of his tongue bass of Cam, I mean, I think part of that is a byproduct of there haven't been any games yet. There haven't been any preseason games. It's hard for Bill really to, you know, let loose on everybody. And I think once the season gets here, I think Bill and Cam are going to have a little bit more of a realistic relationship.
I mean, everybody's living in fantasy land right now. You know that, right?
You'll know the guy's fit and is fit in if Bill's challenging him.
Yeah, the whole thing is fantasy land right now. Him, you know, the energy of Cam Newton, Bill giving him the tongue bats, Newton calling it a perfect fit. It's all fantasy land. That's what, because they haven't played a game yet and gotten their asses kicked. As soon as that happens, how's Bill going to take to losing?
Let's just see if Cam Newton starts costing him games. Then we'll see. And then we'll see how Cam responds. And maybe that responds well. And if that happens, if they face some adversity, Bill challenges him and he stands up to it and responds, and Bill gets more out of him and Cam gets more out of it, then you'll say, okay, this works. But on this, on the front side of it, like this, what's gotten into you people? Seriously, I just looked at it a little harder. Your local teams, even this one. To your calls, as promised, here with Greg Bedard. David in New Bedford has a very pertinent question. Not as important, but pertinent. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, Yes, I was wondering, I saw over the weekend the Patriots cut both field goal kickers, and I wondered who will be taking that role. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. No, thank you for the very concise question. They have no kicker, Greg. What are they doing?
Who it's needs just a kicker? Bill being Bill. I mean, he's just screwing around, and I'm sure there's some upside to it, but I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Folk's going to be the kicker on Sunday. He is. They're going to activate him. I don't know if there's more of a competition going on or whatnot, but if they go with Rohrwasser to start the season, just add that to the list of potential disasters on this team.
Because he just wasn't ready, Greg.
Oh, he was terrible. He was terrible in camp. He made like 55% of his kicks. I mean, at least Folk was almost 90. You could kick 55%.
I definitely could. Is it those little uprights or do they do the normal uprights?
Well, most of the time on the normal uprights, sometimes on the little ones.
Nice fifth round draft pick.
It was a stupid pick. It was a stupid pick from the beginning. It was a completely asinine pick. And now you want to tell me, well, you know, they took Gostkowski late and look what they did with it. Fine. Maybe there was a chance someone else was going to draft Steven Gostkowski. This clown? Who was going to take this guy in the draft? Did anybody have Rohrwasser on their board?
No, the guy that was looked at by most draft nicks as the best kicker in the draft, Rodrigo Blankenship, was an undrafted rookie. He got signed by the Colts, and he won the job over the weekend. So you got outsmarted by the Colts? Like another wasted draft pick. By the way,
and they passed on Tyler Bass, too, who was drafted by the Bills and who knows, could win week 3 or week 4 against you.
And we would all agree that they're kind of weak at wide receiver. Thin, if we're being kind, right? 7 wide receivers were drafted in the 5th round after Rohrwasser. All of them made their teams. All of them.
That is stunning. 7 receivers went just in the 5th.
Yeah.
It was a stupid pick.
After Rohrwasser.
Yeah.
And they've all made their teams.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
And sure the kicker is. Didn't. And the kicker didn't make the team.
Oh, that's great. Nice pick there. Now, would you say that's not a perfect fit? Jeff in Manchester, go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Stupid pick. Stupid.
Hey, far be it for me to say whether or not Cam is going to be a perfect fit, but I think you're acting like this is something that nobody said. We saw it coming. Gasper called it in May and June, and I think others are on board too. So, I don't know. Here we go.
There was a smattering.
I was writing it too.
I said the vast majority, though. The vast majority. Not a possibility. You're wasting your time. Quit. Get Cam Newton out of your mouth. It's not happening. He's not going to come here. He's not. They don't want him. He doesn't. That was it. There was a little smattering. I think, Greg, you did keep the door ajar, right? Mm-hmm.
I basically begged for Cam Newton to be signed. Basically.
You're very proud of yourself.
And so, okay. Why? And do you feel justified?
Why? Because Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer are not NFL quarterbacks right now. They're not NFL starting quarterbacks. So I just wanted a veteran. I didn't care. I really didn't care if it was I wrote sign Andy Dalton. Like once all those guys were gone and it was the last guy was Cam Newton, I wrote go get him. They needed somebody. They needed an option because if Bill is true to his word, which is I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the team. We're going to try to win that week. Going with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer goes against all of that.
Well, then let me ask another one. Because according to all accounts from the you people, meaning the Patriots writers who were down there, the guy who looked the most comfortable and consistent from day one to day last was Brian Hoyer. So if they're interested in winning week one, wouldn't you have Brian Hoyer as your starter instead of Cam Newton right now?
No, because you have to take into account how the defense has to account for Cam. Because if it's just Brian Hoyer back there, they can go bump man-to-man, stack the box. Go ahead, Brian Hoyer, try to beat us over the top. You put Cam in the backfield, suddenly you have to drop a safety down. You have to account for the quarterback on every single passing play. You can't play man coverage. That gives a little bit more room for Edelman. You can't double-team Edelman. Harry can get open a little bit better. So, judging performance, yes, Brian Hoyer, but in terms of adjustments and how the offense is going to work, Cam definitely has the higher upside, and even in week one.
No, I just love Bedard's setup up there in Vermont.
It's better since he put the big rock behind him. Either way, Greg Bedard, truly parts unknown.
You guys are brutal. It's great to be back.
No.
He's doing the show from the woods. It's a Bigfoot Tuesday.
Yeah, three.
Seriously, we got Sasquatch here.
Beavers and muskrats in the background.
Next time I'm tilting the camera out of the tree. I'm going to be out of the tree next time.
Okay, Beaverton, here comes Greg Bedard. 3 up, 3 down heading into the season. First, Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, back to calls in a second. First, big boys in tow here every Tuesday through the football season. So we do this every day as well. It's usually off of last week's game. So we had no games. What we're going to do is the three players you feel best about, the three players you feel worst about heading into the season. So it's a little bit of a look ahead. So let's start on the positive side and be quick about it so we can spend more time on the downside. Who's the player you feel best about heading into this season, Greg?
I couldn't separate any of them, so I just went with the cornerbacks. They're all good. They're all great. Even the guys on the practice squad, D'Angelo Ross, Miles Bryant, they're very good players with potential. They're phenomenal at quarterback.
Devin McCourty. He's the one guy on the roster I look at and say, I know what he's going to give him on the field, and I know what his mindset is. Like, mentally, physically, I know what he is. And so, to me, it's McCourty.
Number two.
Lawrence Guy.
Oh, God, you knew that was coming.
Shocker.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, look, the guy is, he's the heart of this defense in the middle. Really now with Bo Allen, who knows what the hell's going on with that guy. Guy's really the only big body, legitimate NFL guy that they have, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a bad game that that guy has had since he signed with the Patriots from the Ravens. It was a tremendous signing by Bill Belichick and the crew, and he continues to be tremendous.
Stephon Gilmore is number two for me, the best player at his position on the team. The only thing I worry about is with all the stuff going on at corner, Tre'Davious White just got a big deal. Like, is money going to seep into Gilmore's head? That's the only thing I worry about.
Greg, on Bo Allen, what is up with this? This is a big interior defensive lineman they signed from the Buccaneers, correct?
Correct.
He never made one practice, right?
Nope. Yeah, there are people around the team who are like, I don't even know what's going on with him. So I was surprised he wasn't put on non-football injury lists. But
did they list
apparently he got injured? No, not yet. But he's on injured reserve, so something it is a football injury. It's not like he got sick or something like that away from the field. He's on the injured list. That means he got hurt playing football, but I don't know. I haven't seen him do anything.
Okay. Third player, and that's not with one you don't feel good about. The third player you feel good about going into the season, Greg.
I went with the internal offensive line, the two guards in the center. They were tremendous in camp. They look great. From what I hear, they have a chip on their shoulder about the way that the offensive line looked last year. David Andrews looks tremendous coming back. He's stronger. He's really anchoring the middle of that line. I think they're going to be great in the three interior spots.
I went Joe Tooney. I mean, to me, it's really those three guys, though. McCourty, Tooney, Gilmore. Tooney's my third. Gilmore's my second. Other than that, I look at him and go, uh-oh.
Well, let's get to it then. The uh-oh guys. Who are the three players you feel worst about heading into the season? And I would prefer names, not positional groups.
Okay, Felger. Juwan Bentley. He might be good this season. He's my number one worry because holy hell, they have nothing at linebacker this year. I mean, if he gets hurt or he stinks, all he has is, three rookies around him, including one guy who was a late draft pick, Cash Malua, who just got called up. I mean, they are scraping the bottom of the barrel at linebacker. I think they're going to be okay with Bentley. I think they'll figure. I think Anthony Jennings is actually going to play a little bit more inside than Uche. But they are so thin at linebacker. I've never seen a group like this for the Patriots.
The number one guy I feel worst about on this team, Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham. 4 months ago, he was a starter, for crying out loud. Now, all of a sudden, he's the third string. He's, he went to a wedding. He's disappeared. Now we wonder if he can play at all. Like, I look at Stidham and say, what the hell happened there? Stidham, to me, is number one.
Number two, Greg?
Stidham. I agree with Mass. He had a chance. He looked really good the first couple days of camp. I thought he was the best quarterback the first couple days. But then as the competition ramped up a little bit, there were some pads were put on, things like that. He got really shaky, and then that injury. I mean, it just can't happen when you're 24 and there's no contact going on. You cannot get hurt and not take reps in practice. It just can't happen.
So I heard Beadle talking about this. Did and I should have read it. I missed it. Did Reese write that the hospital stint actually showed negative? There was nothing, there was nothing there on film, which is actually a bad sign. You know, he was complaining about an injury, wasn't posting, and there was nothing wrong with him.
Yes.
That is horrible.
I think that sounds correct.
That is brutal.
That's a bad sign. I told you, to me, nobody's stock has dropped more than Stidham's in the last, month.
Now it sounds like you're tapping out, or you're trying to use an excuse, or you're running off the field and trying to blame it on something. So that is a horrible look. All right, next. Who next do you feel not good about? Third.
Oh, I went to Nikhil Harry second, just
oh,
so
I'm
you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No. I went to Nikhil Harry. Again, this is another guy from the same draft, year two. Where's the jump? Where's the, you have the opportunity. There's an opening on the team. There's all this stuff. And he had a bad camp, or he had a mediocre camp, or, the same camp. Call it what you want. Nikhil Harry, another big negative.
Okay, third, Greg.
I was going to go Harry, but I'll go with a different name since Maz laid it out. I'm going to go with Damir Bird on the outside. Now, I like Bird as a player, and there are things that he does well. I was just told that, he's really fast, and he's going to be a huge upgrade over Philip Dorsett and things like that. I just didn't see it on the field in training camp. I mean, maybe he's still thinking through the system, and it's not fast enough. It's not going through his head fast enough yet to play fast. But he did not look like a big difference maker over Philip Dorsett than to me during training camp.
I went Sony Michel third, and I know he didn't participate really in all the preseason. But the one thing you can look at, the three guys I mentioned, they've all been drafted in the last few years. You have three guys like that at all at skill positions, quarterback, receiver, running back. Is there the possibility here that they all suck? Isn't that a little scary?
And you guys even get to the kicker.
Right.
You haven't even gotten to the kicker.
I just think that their problems are so, roster-wise, are so much bigger than the kicker that I couldn't even get there.
Right? I know.
Like, I look at it
I
and
had
say,
another. I had another 10 spots on my worry list.
Well, go ahead. Go.
Yeah, give me the names.
Well, Illuminor, Ossie, Harry, Winovich, Bo Allen, Terrence Brooks, Kyle Duggar, the kicker position. Like, there are a lot of worries. There are a lot of unknowns with this team, more than I've ever seen.
I had Ossie on my list, too. He was on mine.
I think it's Ossie.
Assy.
Okay, your thoughts with Greg Bedard. Back to your calls, I promise, right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick on new quarterback Cam Newton.
He's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. He's here early, he stays late, and he works very hard.
Bill Belichick on Tom Brady.
You know what Tom's agent contract situation is. I don't think you want to have one quarterback on your team.
Bill Belichick on new quarterback Cam Newton.
You know, he's got a great personality along with everybody. He's, very social and has a great, presence, whether it's in a small room of a couple people or, in a bigger group.
Bill Belichick on Tom Brady.
I mean, look, Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But I'm not talking about open heart surgery here.
Bill Belichick on new quarterback Cam Newton.
Very, very competitive on the field. Based on what I've seen, I would put him in the, top echelon of that.
Bill Belichick on Tom Brady.
Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail.
Just for shits and giggles, Bill Belichick on Aaron Rodgers.
But God, he's a hard guy to get. He's just tough. He's just tough to get. He's just so good.
One more time for the full effect. Bill Belichick mocking Tom Brady's toughness. Ooh.
I'll talk about it with heart surgery.
Fracturing issue. Festering, fracturing issue.
It was over when they lost to the Dolphins. In a game they never lose, in a way they never lose, in a place they never lose to AFC East teams. At home, week 17, bye on the line. When it's over, it's over.
Again, that was from last week. Just feel like playing it again. That ass-kissing from Bill tells me it's not a perfect match. At least not yet. Or it tells me there's some game being played. You know, Bill's either got to sell himself to other players in the league, or he's got to get Cam Newton to buy in because that bumps up his bona fides after he basically ran Brady out of town, or there's something not genuine there. Because, again, I know Bill will do whatever it takes, and in some cases, if he's got to kiss a player's ass, he'll kiss a player's ass, but he doesn't want to. It's not the way he wants to do it. So if he's doing that, he's doing it because he feels he needs to do it, either for the player or some sort of PR game or something. So all that ass kissing should tell you it's not perfect. But nope, everyone just buys it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, that means Bill really loves him. Really? No, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that. I don't know. That's the way I read it. But anyway, back to your phones on anything Patriots related with the big boy, Greg Bedard. Brandon in Boston on Cam Newton. You're up next with Felger, Maz, and Bedard. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. So I had a downplay about Cam Newton. Let's not forget about Cam Newton 2015 when he was 15-1 in MVP and took his team to the Super Bowl. And let's not forget, in that division, he beat the Saints twice, he beat Green Bay, and he beat the Seahawks twice, including the divisional round.
So
this is a rebound year for Cam Newton. And not only that, you have Bill Belichick, you have – Hello, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
You have Josh McDaniels now. So now, it was a confidence breaker when he lost in the Super Bowl. I think this is a good match. You're going to see a good Cam Newton. You can easily go a good 11-5 or 10-6 with Cam Newton.
Okay, Brandon. They might make it work, but that doesn't mean it's a perfect match. Okay? There's been imperfect matches that they've made work because the player's talented and motivated and Bill coaches the hell out of them. So they've made it work. I'd say very few long-term, you know, the guys that you sort of question, it's all sort of one and done, and then the Pats make a mistake by re-signing the guy, and then it could turn south. But that doesn't – I'm sorry, Randy Moss was not a perfect match, and Corey Dillon was not a perfect match. These were not perfect matches. They were short-term things that they made work on a short-term basis, but as soon as they went for a longer-term relationship, it blew up because it wasn't a perfect match. This is the exact point, because they weren't meant to be here. They weren't. Moss and Dillon and those guys don't want to take the coaching like that on a regular basis. They can't hack it. And so they weren't a perfect match, but the Pats made the mistake of going long-term with them. So I know that's a consideration long-term with Cam Newton, but it just goes to show you, just because they make it work on a short period of time does not mean it's a perfect match. And if they go long-term, we started the show with Mike Tannenbaum saying he wouldn't be surprised if Cam Newton gets an extension early. I think that would be a major mistake.
Oh, yeah. It's colossal. Go ahead, Greg.
That is, I would be completely shocked if that happens. Now, I did write a column, and I do think that the Patriots need to adjust his contract, just guarantee his incentives, like get him up to $6 million, and then he can earn a little bit more, you know, because they do have the cap space, and it would be a good sign to the rest of the locker room, and guys look at that. Oh, okay, he's taking care of Cam. I mean, right now he's a starting quarterback of your team. He's making peanuts. It's borderline embarrassing, and so I think they're going to do something like that. But there's no it's impossible for me to see Belichick giving a long term extension midway through the season when they don't know how things are going to go.
Tannenbaum said within 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that's insane. Oh. Please.
A 30-year-old injury-prone quarterback who's going to have to run to be successful, especially this year.
Oh, that's insane. And, Greg, when you say you think they're going to do something with Newton's contract, do you mean, like, you know, is it imminent? Or are we talking if it goes well for the first 2 or 3 weeks, they'll do something?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I just wrote that, you know, and this also factors into if they want to add somebody, if you want to add somebody, even that wants $3 to $4 million, Belichick knows how this, how it looks. And so he's not going to do it because Cam's playing for $1 million. He's not going to go out and say, so if you want to make a move, say at the trade deadline, it would behoove Belichick to adjust Cam a little bit more, guarantee his incentives or something like that. And then you're free to do whatever you want at the trade deadline. I don't think it's imminent, but I think it's the right thing to do. And I think the Patriots will do something at some point.
Jackie in Weymouth. Go ahead, Jackie. What do you got?
Yeah, I was just wondering Greg's thoughts on why Nick Caserio is skating on all these god-awful drafts. It seems like the scouting department and Nick Caserio are playing long ball. They're all looking for the long shot hero ball rather than the tried and true obvious choices. And maybe it's the a clean out of Nick Caserio in the scouting department that needs to get better data so Belichick can make better decisions.
Well, Jackie,
just want to know Greg's thoughts.
Thanks, Jackie, for the call. They just re-signed him, so it's not like he's going anywhere. But it's a good point by her, Greg. Caserio doesn't get much fallout for this.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's actually one I answered on my podcast that came out today. But, you know, I'll give it to you here. So everybody looks at, okay, Nick Caserio is the director of player personnel. But it's all Bill. It's always all Bill. All the decisions, all the draft picks, all the free agent signings, it's what Bill wants to do. There have been times in the past where the scouting department has had the position stacked, and all of a sudden Bill, for whatever reason, takes a guy who's 5-6 spots lower than what the scouts say. It's on Bill. Now, that being said, there are people around the team who wonder if Nick has been a strong enough sort of counter to Bill and some of the things that he's wanted to do. There's a feeling that he is not anywhere near Scott Pioli in terms of, you know, when Bill wants to do something, push him back and say, no, don't do that. Don't pick that guy. We've scouted this guy for 3 years. Our scouts think this is the right guy. We all agreed on the stacking. Go with this guy. There's a feeling that there's not that sort of buffer to Bill in the building anymore.
How do you think this year's draft is? I know it's impossible to tell. There wasn't, you know, weren't even preseason games, but you know, Jeff Howe in the Athletic reported that Bill's already nailed this draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't come close to going that far, but do I think they got some good players who have some futures? Yeah. You know, I think Duggar has a chance. I don't think he's going to play much to start the season. Do I think Uche and Jennings have a chance? Yes, they're going to play probably about a year ahead of time from when they should have been playing. I think that the offensive linemen that they got on Wenyu and Heron, I think they have futures. I think they're happy with them. And Asiasi and Keen at tight end and sort of H-back, they like what they've done. It's just it's going to take them some time, like a normal rookie. So I like what they've done. I think it's promising. I'm not ready to say they've hit it out of the park.
You know, the first, you know, his line. This is again the Athletic going by first impressions. Belichick nailed this draft, but the first three picks on defense are particularly exciting. Duggar was dynamite in the first week of camp with 3 interceptions and 2 pass breakups and team drills before he was restricted with a minor leg injury. But he seems poised for a prime job in Patrick Chung's absence. Linebackers, you mentioned Josh Uche and Anfernee Jennings were equally impressive. Do you think that's a little much, Greg? Do you think that's overstating it?
I thought they were good. I don't know if I would go as far as say they were, you know, impressive. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll get the referendum when they hit the field and how they do.
We've got Jeff in the car on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Jeff.
Belger, will you just give Cam a few minutes
before
Belichick starts yelling at him? Give me a break. I mean, geez, he's just got here. Let Belichick understand that Brady and Cam come from different backgrounds. And so they're going to treat – Belichick's going to treat him differently. Well,
Wait. So when you say different backgrounds, what do you mean?
What I mean is Cam Newton was drafted in the first round. Brady was drafted in the last possible number.
Because Cam Newton's always been a stud athlete, he has to have his ass kissed?
Okay, no, but at the same time.
Well, I mean, if you said yes, here, you know what, Jeff?
Okay, when you're in the vineyard and you're inviting guests over for tea party, do you yell at them as soon as they show up?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, sometimes I do. It's Nantucket, not the vineyard, by the way. Would not be caught dead on the vineyard. Where was I? It come from different backgrounds. Where Cam Newton's always been the highly recruited, highly touted national champion, number one pick. He's always been that guy, so you got to kiss his ass. If you said to me, yeah, I'd say to you, okay, you actually get it. Because when you say background, I mean, that's why I assume what you're referring to, or that's what you should be referring to. And so Cam Newton comes from this place where he's the man. And if you don't treat him as the man, you're not going to get the most out of him. To which maybe Bill realizes this. Peter King actually wrote this. Peter King, you know, because people were wondering, what was that 2 minute and 17 second, you know, soliloquy that we just, you know, we just played you? And Peter King said, and it was, you know, a longer response, but he said Ron Rivera did the same thing early on in Newton's Carolina career in 2011, 2012. How is Newton behind closed doors? Does he need the kind of back padding Belichick is giving? Maybe. We'll see. But I believe this was pretty well thought out by Belichick. So when Peter King says that, you know what he's telling you? He needs the back padding.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question.
He needs the ass kissing.
I mean, this goes back to early in his career with Steve Smith. Steve Smith was saying that stuff about him.
He needs his ass. He's had several former teammates from Carolina say he needs a soft touch.
I mean, you got to worry about these guys always, the number one picks in any sport.
So how is it a
perfect... I'm telling you, you got to watch out for those guys.
How is it a perfect fit when your head coach, your established head coach, has to change how he does business to make sure that the new quarterback's, you know, happy and well taken? I mean, he wouldn't even do that for Brady. But you know, that's a longer story, obviously. But that means it's not a perfect fit. The fact that Belichick has to bend over backwards to pump him up and kiss his ass and pump his tires means it's an imperfect fit that maybe they'll make work. Maybe they'll make it work. But that's not how Bill draws it up. And that's not how you would want him to draw it up. Yet Bill is Gloom. That's his nickname, Gloom. Miserable SOB to most everybody. So... I think, to me, if you were a miserable SOB to Cam Newton, I'd say, well, this is actually working because he feels comfortable enough to challenge him and be a hard guy. Meanwhile, though, you know, Newton's claiming that he's been misrepresented or there's a racial element to this misconception that he couldn't work with Bill Belichick, which I think, again, sort of leaving the racial thing out, I think is so asinine or so unfair of him to say that, well, I'll put it into words. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.